Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This happened about 1 or 2 years ago. I'm in the Alabama Air Force National Guard, but I work in a city in Florida. I'm traveling home for the weekend, late on a Friday night, since I had to be at my unit the next morning. I have drill once a month. I've been traveling for a while, and I'm on a highway in Alabama near my parents' house. It's about 9 p.m, and there are no lights to light up the street. Pitch dark. I see a car stop at a sign about 60 to 70 yards in front of me, and he goes across the street I'm driving on. Mind you, it's dark, and the car had its lights on. When I got to the street he crossed, I looked down the street he went down, and there was no street, no car lights, and no car. There was only grass and a telephone pole. I would have seen the red backlights at least, and I was going too fast for him to disappear before I got to him. I got out there as fast as I could. I cannot explain what happened to this day. Paint a picture. Here's a description of myself at the time of this incident, 3 years ago. 5'5", 26-year-old woman, medium length, bleach blonde hair, curvy, 175 pounds, wearing black high-waisted tights and a pink crop top. 3 years ago, I was walking home late at night from my friend's house. It was dark at the time, and I lived in a rough part of a large city. I've had many sketchy situations that I've got myself out of, so I guess I felt sort of invincible, like nothing truly scary could happen to me. When I walk alone, I always stay very alert and aware of my surroundings for my own safety, just in case. About halfway home, and roughly 10 minutes to my apartment, I noticed a van started tailing me. I was used to this, since in my city, it's very common for a young woman in a rough area to get propositioned for sex. It's embarrassing how desensitized I was. I did my usual and crossed the road, so I would be walking beside the traffic heading in the other direction. I wasn't scared, just annoyed. The van then turned down a side street and back to the road I was on and pulled up to me. At this point, I still wasn't scared. Again, this happened so many times, and it never mattered if I was wearing something that showed my skin or if I was wearing a winter zipped up coat from below my chin all the way down to my ankles. That area is notorious for that type of activity. I decided to be firm and told the person sternly, "I'm not interested." I noticed there were two men in the van. They looked almost identical and may have been twins or brothers. Both men had a very, very dark complexion, dark eyes and short hair. The van didn't move. I was super annoyed and crossed the road again to get away. At this point, I figured this would be enough to stop them from following me. They didn't. They kept circling back every time I crossed the road. I've never had to put that much effort into getting a pervert to leave me alone, so this is when I started to feel unsafe. They zipped by me at the speed the traffic was flowing in, and I yelled for them to F off. I thought it finally worked. It had been 3 minutes, and I hadn't seen the van, so I thought I was in the clear. Just in case, I pulled my phone out and was getting ready to call my sister that I live with. Just then, the van pulled up next to me very quickly, before I could even blink. One of the men jumped out of the van, opened the back door and approached me in an aggressive manner, as if he was trying to scoop me up and throw me into the vehicle. The traffic in the area is very inconsistent. It was dead, and I imagine this is what they was waiting for. Just as the man was about to place his hands on me, I tilted my phone and said, "You're being filmed," in my live video chat. I gave my friend your license plate number and the police had been notified. I was so scared, but I didn't show that. I stayed as calm as I could. The man paused like he was considering if I was bluffing or telling the truth, so I tilted my phone more as if to give a fake audience a better look at him. He then jumped into the van and they sped off. I have never been the same since that night. I'm afraid of walking alone now, even in the daytime. Stay safe out there. This happened in 2008, when I was 9 years old. I lived in a townhome community, where each road had two sides of homes. In between the backs of the houses, there was a back road with alleyways that went in between each building section. I lived on the edge of one of these, and my hometown was on one of those alleyways. I lived on one street, and across the back road, on the opposite side, lived an elderly woman whose name I don't even know. I'm not sure what her situation was, but for whatever reason, she never liked me specifically. She was creepy, and spray-painted all of her windows so no one could see in her house. However, that never stopped her from sometimes staring out a bedroom window directly at mine, and keeping it open at night to shine a red strobe light into my room across the way. She used to yell how she hated us. I was in 4th grade, and on a particular January morning, I had unfortunately missed the bus. My dad sent me outside to get in the car so he could drive me, and he said he'd follow me out soon after. As I was walking to my dad's car, she came out of the alleyway next to my house, slowly, with a gigantic kitchen knife behind her back. She raised it and started running after me. I was faster than her, so I was able to avoid her and was able to get into the house. She walked and stood on the neighbor's porch across the way and stared at my house. I was terrified. My dad ran out and yelled at her, and she said she wanted to get rid of us stupid kids. My parents called the police, but the police sent her home and had an ambulance pick her up later. My parents went to some kind of court meeting about it, but I don't really know the details. I didn't see her again after that, until 1 year later. I don't remember the day, but it had snowed that morning, so I was gonna run out of the front door and play in the snow. I opened the door to see her standing on the porch, but looking out towards the road, I panicked, closed, and locked the door. I ran up to my parents' room and told them what happened, and we saw her walk off the porch up the street. I never saw her again after that. My family since moved far away from there, but people I know say she still lives there, and her windows are still the same spray-painted windows. Though it doesn't affect me as much as it used to, I still don't like being around knives. This story didn't happen to me, but instead to a friend of the family who's also a volunteer fire chief, an industrial firefighter / EMT, and a fire investigator for my country. I was told this story when he came to my Firefighter 1 class to teach us about the basics of fire investigation and how firefighters can assist fire investigators on the scene. In 2009, there was a large garage explosion and fire out in rural area of my country. My own fire department responded for mutual aid, but this was 6 years before I joined. When a working fire is declared in my country, the country's team of fire investigators is also notified to respond. The garage was filled with cars, some of them decades old, and took a while to extinguish. A while later, when the fire was out, the fire investigators began to take pictures of what was left of the garage and the cars inside. The garage had effectively burned to the ground by this point. They were taking photographs of the garage. One of the photographers on the team seemed to notice something odd in the hollowed out remains of the pickup truck. He peered inside. He noticed something white in the driver's seat and took a photo of it. As he continued to look at it, he soon realized that it was in fact a skeleton. The owner of the garage, who had been missing since the fire, had in fact died in it. It was believed he was in the garage when the explosion occurred, and died shortly after from smoking inhalation or the burns. His death was ruled an accident, as he had several propane tanks he was working on inside the garage, and several of them exploded. I have seen the pictures, and I was shocked to see the skeleton when I finally noticed it. He had been burned so thoroughly that his skeleton blended in with the wreckage of the truck, hence why it took so long for anyone to notice it. Despite firefighters, police officers, and investigators walking right past the truck several times, I only hope that his death wasn't too painful. I met this kid at my hockey practice in March. The hockey team was made up of a range of kids from ages 11 to 13. This kid had recently changed teams to this one for various reasons, and seemed pretty nice. We got along relatively well, and one day, after a game, we introduced our parents to each other, and we all went to a diner for lunch after that. His family seemed nice, and he seemed like an average kid. I invited him over, and we brought a bike and a scooter to the park, and played hide and seek in the playground. One day, I invited him over to my house to hang out, and after playing some video games for a while, we took our scooters to the park. I kept repeating how average this kid seemed, because what happened the next day still confuses me. We had just won our first hockey game in a tournament, and wouldn't play our next game until the next day. I invited him to lunch with my mum and her friend, who had decided to come along and watch the game. And after eating, my mum drove us to my house. He lived in a pretty bad part of town, so I had always declined his mum's invitations to come over. We planned to go outside and play tennis on some nearby backboards, but first we played some video games. During one of our games, his mum called and said he had to leave soon so he wouldn't be late for his next activity. He told me that he was going to take my trophy with him. For a bit of background, the previous season, I had played his old team and beat them in the finals of a tournament funded by them, so he probably had a bit of resent for that, especially since my trophy was bigger than his. Anyway, he disappeared with the trophy, and since my apartment is very small, I thought he was right outside, in the corridor trying to prank me. But I looked in our front hall and saw his shoe still there. I called out from next to the front door, "You left your shoes." I got no reply from outside, but I heard a slight shuffling from inside a walk-in closet next to our front hall that my mum used for extra clothes that didn't fit her in her small closet. I was 99% sure it was him, and 5 seconds later, the closet door slides open and he climbs out, only to get an extra loud boo from me. My mum, who was currently talking on the phone, did not appreciate the loud noises and told us that we could only act like that outside. Then, the kid then walked to my room and shut the door and locked it. My door had one of those click locks that had a little hole on either side so you could put a piece of wire into it if you happened to lock yourself out or something. So I went to look for something in the kitchen that I could use to open the door. At this point, what he was doing was kind of getting annoying. My mum got mad at me for rummaging around in the kitchen, and at that moment, the kid walked out of my room and walked over to the kitchen. He was supposed to be leaving, and instead, he was stalling in a really crappy way. When I looked over to where he was in the kitchen, I saw he was holding our biggest steak knife and was handling it as if he was imagining what it'd be like if he ran through somebody. I couldn't take this, so I went to my mum's room and told her that the kid was holding a knife. She told the person on the phone line that she had to go and asked the kid what on earth he was thinking. He denied ever touching the knife, although I could prove him wrong with fingerprints, and my mum told him that he needs to go. I walked him to the elevator, and when it came, he got in and said, "I took something." So I held the elevator before I asked him what he took. He told me that he didn't take anything. He repeated the shenanigan for a few more times before my mum started yelling at me about holding the elevator. So I laughed this off and finally let him leave. When the elevator beeped, indicating that it was a floor below me, he called up the shaft. "I took your tripod." For background, my tripod was a stand that would plug into the charger hole on my iPhone. I used this tripod to prop my phone up when I recorded videos and time lapses. He had seen my tripod the day before when I let him use it to make a YouTube video of him playing with my keyboard. He was fascinated by it. Anyway, I went back into the apartment and looked for my tripod. I came to the conclusion that he had in fact taken it. That's when I got a FaceTime call from him. He was outside my building, on the street, and he smiled and held up the tripod. I was annoyed but remained calm and handed the FaceTime to my mum, who told him in a very firm way to bring it back immediately. A minute later, we realised that we should have told him to leave it with the front desk of the building, as we didn't want him coming anywhere near us again. Unfortunately, when I called him, he was already in the elevator, so I advised him just to leave it outside the elevator door.
I was not concerned about this, since we only have two sets of neighbours who dominate all the other apartments in our floor and are almost never in the country. I stayed on a FaceTime call with him until we got to my floor, and I watched him put the tripod down on the floor in front of the elevator. I never saw him get back in, since he covered the camera with his finger. For the next few minutes, we heard the kid walking outside the front door. He must have been there for quite a while, because after 15 minutes when I FaceTimed again, he was just walking out of the lobby. Please know that there were quite a few buzzes before he answered, so he had probably been sitting in the lobby when he got tired of being outside our house. We quickly called the front desk and said the kid was not welcome back in. I don't know if the kid was just bored or what. I had learned the day before that he was obsessed with Pennywise the Clown. I don't know very much about Pennywise, so I don't know if the kid was just pretending to be him. I wonder why he felt the need to try and steal a $5 tripod that I most likely would have given to him if he had asked. I don't know why he was in my mother's closet. It also confuses me why he handled and inspected one of our kitchen knives. To this day, I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't notified my mum that he had one of our knives in his possession, or if I hadn't told him to leave the tripod outside the elevator instead of coming to our front door. I may be seriously overreacting, but this was pretty disturbing to me. I'm still playing on that hockey team, and I'm still going to see the kid again tomorrow. It may have all been a laugh, but it clearly went too far. Did I mention that he continuously begged to stay for sleepovers, even though I barely knew him? After this incident, that's definitely a no-no, and I don't think I'll ever invite him to my house again.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.